Welcome to episode
5
of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Wednesday,
the
9th of October,
2013. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeffy.
Hail and well met to another WoW Geekly, geeks. I am Asheo, and with me, as always, is the fine English gentleman of podcasting, Sir Al Jeppy. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Wow, you're way too chipper.
Bit
way
chipper?
Way too chipper.
Where?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'll try and chipper it down a bit.
Should we put in the wood chipper?
Nah. It's been a great week in WoW, so why wouldn't one be chipper?
It's been a great week in WoW for you. It's been a great week in the duvet cave for me.
No. Yeah, I know you were out. I know you're out of the cave a bit because we did stuff together.
We did, yeah. That's actually what knocked me out for the rest of the week.
That's it. I've done 3 dungeons. Can't possibly log in and
pooped.
Press buttons anymore. You sounded like Moss then from the IT crowd. I'm pooped. Very good.
Do you ever see, I don't suppose you see it, but he does a thing called the Gadget Man?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's very good. You should watch it if you get a chance. By nefarious means, I'm sure. Actually, I think it might be.
Oh, it's probably on our ABC. Yeah, if it's on the BBC over there, it'll probably come to ABC in Australia.
It might be. Then again, it might be one of those awful other channels, like Channel 4, Channel 5, who don't share very well. Yeah, but it's good. He goes and looks at all sorts of different gadgets and tries to do things in the outside world by using gadgets to make it so much easier for himself.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So we need to start off with what people seem to like us starting it off with.
Number stuff from Coriolistras.
The numbers from Coriolistras. Do you know what's special about the number 5?
Do you know? Well, I was going to go really highbrow and say something about Henry V and the Battle of Agincourt, but sadly, I didn't get a chance to look it up. So what I do know is that we're supposed to eat 5 bits of fruit a day.
Yeah.
Do you have the 5 a day policy in Australia?
5 bits of fruit and veggies, yeah.
But I was very disturbed to find out that didn't include Pop-Tarts.
Oh, what? Well, isn't that like 3 of your... 3 of your different core foods in that?
You'd think so. Mm. There's definitely some sort of fruit mixture in the middle.
Yeah.
So.
And you got your cereal, crappy, soggy stuff on the outside. And
there's so many E numbers, I don't see how anyone can die after they've eaten enough Pop-Tarts. They're pretty much preserved for the rest of their life and then on beyond.
No use by dates.
It'd be interesting to see if you dig up this generation 50 or 60 years after they have passed and to see that they're actually perfectly preserved because of all the emulsifiers and probably smelling great, because of the extra flavor. But
exactly.
Anyway, so I have nothing other than silly tomfoolery, but I guess you have something.
I do. I have something quite interesting, I think, which means most people won't find it interesting. But,
but most people are now fast-forwarding.
There are 5 Lagrange points when 2 bodies are orbiting around each other.
Okay, I see that. What? What is wrong with you? Why can't you just be normal?
I am normal. People.
What the hell's a Lagrange
point? A Lagrange point. Ah, there's the perfect question. So the Lagrange point is the point between the 2 orbiting bodies where the gravity is equal. So there's no tug one way or the other. Okay. So if you imagine 2 bodies rotating around each other in an orbit.
We're talking celestial bodies, are we, as opposed to 2 large fat people?
generally speaking, it is considered in the celestial form, but I guess physics being what it is, it probably applies to lots of things.
Okay.
But there are five points that you can find in 3D space around those two bodies that is a Lagrange point, which is the point where the gravity on the force on that object from gravity from the two orbiting bodies is equal. Well, there you go. Okay.
That's fascinating and requires so much more that I had to have to look up in order to understand what you just said that I probably will not go any further with that one.
Think about it this way. The first time that I came across Lagrange point reference was, I've got a mind blank on who wrote the book. But it was a sci-fi book that had a pilot in it by the name of Joshua Calvert. And he became rather famous for escaping out of orbit in his spaceship by timing his jump to hyperspeed right at the Lagrange point. And so I had to go and look up what the Lagrange point was. And there you go. It's an actual real thing in physics and stuff.
Well, I think of all the ones you've done so far, actually, I have to say last week's one was absolutely fantastic, and I have used it on the kids. Although, when I said to my daughter, my oldest daughter, do you know what happens if you get the letters out of this number and then you keep going? And she went, does it get to four? Yeah, it does. Thanks. So, just walked away. Anyway, but...
Was that because she listened to the podcast?
No, sadly it is because she seems a lot smarter than I am. Of all the ones you've done, this has to be the geekiest, and therefore you get a golden. What a geek.
Oh, my first golden. All right.
A golden, yeah.
Now, I do have to admit, and you probably don't want to go looking for this on the internet. I will put a link to it in the show notes if you're absolutely crazy. But there is a mathematician that does a one-hour lecture series on three numbers that he finds that have special significance in the field of mathematics. And the first one is five. And he actually does a one-hour lecture on why five is such a great number. And I sat and I watched that video.
You're not helping yourself.
The research and the effort that I go to entertain you is above and beyond, I'll tell you.
Okay, I've looked up the word entertain in the dictionary.
Is there a picture of me?
I have to say, you've missed it. You've missed it by a mile. there's a picture of you with a big cross for it.
Disappointed. I'm disappointed.
No, I'm sure there's people out there that are absolutely wetting their geek panties about this, but I am not one of them.
So what have you been up to this week, my friend?
Well, like I said, like I implied at the beginning.
Sweet fuck all. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm allowed to say that.
No. I'm not sure what we are tagged, actually. I think we're sort of tagged, might drop in the odd swear, so maybe you can get away with that, just that one.
We're fine.
But, yes, if you want to sum it up, yes, SFA is pretty much it. I did do, and we'll talk about this in Noob to Elite, a dungeon with some fine folk, including yourself.
That was a ton of fun.
I think I had to edit the podcast. There was some editing, and then there was a duvet cave, and it all got a bit blurry, and there was some editing for that. And
before you know it, it's episode five.
Yeah, that's right. Suddenly I woke up this morning, and I think, bugger, it's episode five today. I've done nothing. I'm sure the dear listener doesn't want to hear me moan on about the fact that sometimes I go into these coma days where I just basically sleep for 36 hours straight, get up, go to the toilet, and then do another 36 hours.
It sounds extremely appealing, but I'm guessing it gets pretty boring very, very quickly.
See, it's not boring. I have fantastic. I mean, if I was being judged on the amount of effort that I put into the dream world that I live in, then I'd be, I'd be like an Olympic champion because I'm all over the place.
Awesome.
But it doesn't get much well done, or indeed much TV viewing done, which are my two main hobbies at the moment. So, yeah, not a great week for WoW, not a great week for the old TV, but a great week for sleeping.
Oh, well. Well, I made up. I had a feeling that I didn't see you online all that much, so I put in the extra effort, and hopefully I've made up for it.
Yeah, and I'm sure in the fullness of time, there'll be a day or two that you decide not to play WoW. I doubt it. And I'll jump in there and take your weight on that one. So, yeah. Not going to happen.
So let me tell you some stuff about my week.
Please do.
So out in the Timeless Isle, as you do, as everybody loves to be out in the Timeless Isle, and I'm using a mod called Rare Coordinator, which is a wonderful mod because it lists all the rares that are out on the island and tells you when they last spawned and when they were last killed, and it color codes them so you can see, you know, if once it turns red on the time that you know that spawn is imminent, that they're going to respawn. If you've got TomTom installed, it adds waypoints to your map so that you can see where they are and where they're supposed to go. If you're close enough, it'll bring up a little thumbnail pic that you can click on so you can see your target. All sorts of wonderful stuff. Like it's got a chat channel, so it coordinates with everybody else that's using it. So even if you're not close enough, if someone else will, it will tell you that it's spawned. So it's pretty awesome. But the one problem I had with it is that it only had two sounds to alert you as to when it had found a rare. One of them was this a pair of rares. Yeah. One of them was this really annoying ding sound. and the other one was the good old "you are not prepared," both of which was super annoying because it goes off quite often. So I hacked the code and made a reference to my own MP3 and recorded myself saying this: "Psst, there's a rare." And I don't know if that came across very clearly or not.
Well, I heard it quite well,
but it's me whispering, "Psst, there's a rare." And it's quickly become somewhat of a joke because I surprise myself and going, what did I say? I didn't say that. Or I'll be out of the room and Kim hears me saying, "Psst, there's a rare." And she turns around to talk to me and I'm not there. And it's really quite disconcerting to hear yourself saying that all the time, all night, and there's all these rares.
There it goes.
Spawn. So, yeah, that's been fun. But
it's funny because the add-on I was using, which is WeChorus, allows you to do sounds, and a few people suggested that instead of, because I spent all this time trying to get the perfect sound to alert me to various things, and you'd said, well, how about I record "Push Shadow Burn, you noob," something along those lines.
Yeah.
And a few people even suggested things like that I have the sound when somebody drops, when I die, which was, I thought was a little bit unfair.
Yeah, it's been unfair.
Because I'd be hearing that.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. Yeah.
But yeah, I decided against that because of the very reason you just said, because I'd constantly going, "What the hell? What? How am I talking to myself? What's going on?
Don't freak out, man."
Meanwhile, my Shadowbone hasn't kicked off and I've died. So.
Yeah, you panic, wondering what to do. But there must have been lot of people complaining about it or gently suggesting, because I actually downloaded an update to the mod yesterday and it's got about 8 new sounds in it.
So you actually have to physically go in and change the code and replace one of the sounds with your new sound, do you?
Well, if you want to put in your own sound, then the mod as it stands doesn't have support for that, so I just changed the source code to call my own sound. So it's pretty cool. And the other thing that I didn't realize, which was pretty cool, when I did use the Curse client to update it, Curse actually warned me. It said, "Hey, by the way, you've changed that. If you update this, you're going to overwrite your changes." So I thought that was pretty cool that Curse knows that I've actually changed something in the add-on directory and warns me about it. Well done, Curse.
And then you get an email from Blizzard saying, "You've changed something fundamental to the game. We've banned you. Congratulations."
Yeah. Congratulations.
Because if Curse can see it, Blizzard can see it.
I was just an MP3. I'm sorry.
Because you used to be able to go in, and I imagine you still can, although you shouldn't, and change the in-game sounds and the source of each in-game sound.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a sounds folder, and what you can actually do is, if you know what the name of the sound is that something calls, you can just create that inside there, and if that one exists, it'll play that rather than the built-in sound. So that's still a supported thing. So, I mean, people use that, and mods use that. You know, one famous one, obviously, is changing the gun sound. I hate the gun sound, far too loud. So, you know, I replace that with a little air gun, or, you know, change it to a bow. You can change those sounds, and, you know, change your the fishing bobber used to be like really quiet and not distinct enough. So you can change your fishing bobber noise and stuff like that. So that's all still
does it go?
It's all still there.
Fish.
Yes. It kind of warbles. It's a.
That's useful because especially when there's lots of people fishing in the same area and you can hear their freaking bobbers.
Mm. Well, that doesn't actually work because it still uses the same sound for their bobbers.
Doesn't
fix that problem. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, that'd be good actually if they had code for this is the sound of your bobber and this is the sound for everybody else's bobber.
Mm. Yeah, that would actually be very useful.
Yeah. So my tip of the week. Here we go. Tip of the week. And
tip of the week.
You're going to stumble over this constantly. I know it. Check your Vela, and specifically check whether your Vela capped. Because there's a limit of 3,000 Vela that you can have. And when you're doing pet battles and dailies and LFRing, you're collecting Vela. And you get up to 3,000 Vela pretty darn quickly. And I was looking at my Druid this week, wondering where I should be getting upgrades and stuff from. And I thought, I'll go and ask Mr. Robot what he reckons I should be doing. And he quite rightly suggested that I actually upgrade some of my gear. So you know how your gear now has, if you look at a bit of gear, it'll say upgrade level 0/2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course I do. What? Hey?
Of course I do. What?
Did they put that back in the game? Well, that is there. You can actually upgrade the gear that you're wearing using Vela.
And, yeah, so I see the 0/2 on a lot of my gear. Yeah.
So by spending Vela, you can make that 2/2 and bump up the item level of your actual item.
Mm. I thought, is it 543 from a 535 if you go twice?
Yeah, you can do that. So I thought, that's a brilliant idea. I wonder how much Vela I've got on my Druid. And I had a look, and it says a big red 3,000. I went, I wonder how many weeks and months I've been Vela capped and doing all these dailies and LFR and everything else and not getting any Vela because I haven't been spending it. So, people, there's probably a mod that warns me of that. I should probably look for a mod, or people should tell me about a mod that warns me that I'm Vela capped. But
Vela noob.
Short of that, check your Vela. Do it every week.
I was the same with Honor when I was doing PvP. Because the thing with Honor is not technically a cap. Well, it is a cap. You can go to 4,000. But you can actually spend it and then go back and get another 4,000. There's no weekly. As far as I know, I don't know if it's changed. But you can keep going back and getting more and more. But you had to spend, you know, there's no point in jumping into a Tulpa ad if you were at 4,000.
You're at the cap, yeah.
So I remember waiting. The thing was just about to go, rushing to the guy to buy stuff. I need to buy.
Sell me stuff. Take my gold.
Yep. The good thing about Honor, of course, is there's tons of crap you can buy. So,
So I'm loving. I finally got the signed up with Ask Mr. Robot and got the mod all set up and uploaded all my bag information. And got it to sort out my best in bag stuff, so you can work out what your best off spec is, and you know, lock in your healing gear, and tell me okay, what's best for my DPS now. Got that all sorted out. So spoiler alert, I got my epic cloak. And ask Mr. Robot on his his upgrade suggestions, he said, you should upgrade that. And I went, is that such a great is that such a great idea? Because doesn't this cloak get replaced with a legendary at some point? So I didn't do that. So I don't know whether it's that is actually a problem or whether I've gone, oh, well, just suck it up. It's 500 valor. That's the best thing you can do anyway. But maybe someone out there knows and can say, no, it's okay. Spend your valor on your epic cloak.
Incredibly complex.
Oh, so
I can't imagine
so
what
complex.
Hell the code is behind Mr. Robot.
Yeah, it's an amazing effort that's gone into that.
Have you used Ask Mrs. Robot?
No, I did try Ask Mrs. Robot, and I just got talk to the hand.
Well, I got those boots with that chest. Come on. So
fabulous.
It's fabulous, darling. You look amazing.
Yes.
No.
You should be a paladin.
You look amazing for a goblin.
Yes, that's right. Why aren't you a male blood elf?
Everything looks good on a male blood elf.
Terrible, terrible. So I've done some LFR this week, and I really wish that there was something that could be done about people resisting the ability to own up and say that they don't know the fights in LFR. I mean, it's been out for a week and a half, right? You can't expect that everybody's going to know it. And, you know, you get in there and you wipe on a fight and you go, okay, so, you know, who doesn't understand the fight? You know, no one says anything. And there's fights where everybody else is just, they're so impatient to start and get it over and done with that they don't want any discussion at all. Like, there's one of the fights in Siege of Orgrimmar is Galakrus, and you need to have a tower group. And this group of people, which is basically a tank, a healer, and a couple of DPS, will go up a tower and fight mobs at the top of the tower. And there's a couple of towers that you need to do that for. And so you'll get into an LFR, and it'll go, you know, someone will say, okay, group two is a tower group, and they pull. No discussion at all. And, you know, we wipe. So I say into, you know, Ray Chat, does everybody in group two, you know, understand what the tower group is and what you need to do? No one says anything, you know. So I start whispering people, you know, do you know how to do the tower stuff? Mostly you'll get no responses, and one guy will go, first time here. I'm like, why don't you say something in Raid Chat? Huh? I mean, are they terrified that they're going to be instantly booted because they admit that they don't know the fight, you know, a week and a half after it's been released? And it's just
sadly,
ridiculous.
I feel that may be the case, yeah.
Well, I mean, so sure,
standing out.
That happens sometimes, but when it's so new, it's just ridiculous that, you know, people don't want to own up and people don't want to spend the time to discuss and do a bit of planning.
So were you saying a while back that there's people that have macros that will basically text out the strategy for each fight?
Yep.
And so it's not like you have to have somebody stop and explain it each time. To have this a macro that says, okay, this is what we're going to have to do, this, and this.
Hmm. But when in fights like this one, we have to actually assign specific people, specific roles. If they don't know how to do that and they don't own up to it and they don't go and do it. You know, the last group that I was in, the tank that was assigned to that group had no idea what to do. The tank got to the top of the tower and jumped in the vehicle and didn't run off and do the second tower. And so we wiped. And it's like, yeah, it's just crazy that there's not enough discussion and ownership. That, you know, if you go into LFR, for God's sake, just speak up and say, can someone please explain the fight? You know, if you get nominated to do some particular role, say, can someone just tell me what that is? It seems really silly that doesn't happen.
It seems particularly silly since the amount of time to explain compared to the amount of time to regroup after
a wipe. I mean, every time you wipe, it's another 10, 15 minutes versus 2 minutes to explain it to people.
Yeah. Sadly, I think there are quite a few people that don't do that math. They sit there thinking, I haven't got time, let's just get on with it.
Mm.
That's why I used to get really annoyed when there would be I guess it doesn't happen as much as it used to, but when stuff was done via trade, and it would say, must know the fights. Okay, well, that's fine, but this is new stuff, and a lot of people don't know the fights. Does that mean you're basically saying that nobody will ever get to learn the fights because
they must
know the fights before they could possibly have done the fights?
It's been out for less than 2 weeks. Come on, give us a break. Crazy stuff.
I guess they expect people to study, do they? Go on the internet and study these fights.
Well, it's actually all that stuff's in-game now. You know, there's a dungeon journal in-game that's actually pretty good. And pretty concise, and you can get in there and read it. And it doesn't tell you exactly what to do, but it tells you what the boss's abilities are. And, you know, clearly if it says something like, we'll do 16 trillion damage to you and the 10 nearest players, well, there's either two strategies, right? It's either, well, you're dead and you should run off somewhere by yourself, or you're supposed to all stack up to spread the damage out. Right, and you can kind of work out what you're supposed to do from what the description of what those abilities are. So, yeah, there's not too many different strategies. Yeah, they're not all. None of them are just spanking tanks. But
isn't that horrible?
Yeah, pretty crazy. But that's my whinge for the week. Whinge over.
Mm.
So I've finished this week. Leveling up all of the pets that I thought I would need to do the Celestial Tournament. So I dove back in there last night, keen and eager, and there's the two rounds that you need to do. And I knocked down Cho, he was easy. Goldbloom, he was easy. Cleary, knocked him over. Got into stage two, and I'm thinking, this is awesome. I'm on a super roll. Did Shiji. Knocked him over. When did Zufu, knocked him over. Went to Zao, and things didn't quite go as planned. And I don't know whether it was RNG or I don't know the fights well enough to time their cooldowns against my cooldowns. But I lost it. My last pet died when he was like under 1,000 health left. It was pretty low.
That's got a sting.
And to spend all that time doing, it was six fights. So I won six fights. I had two to go. And unless you've got, another three of those pets, or you can figure out some other series of combinations that you want to use on that elite, it's basically, exit the scenario and start all over again. So
having gained nothing,
you don't get anything you've got to complete the whole thing to get anything, just one of those coins.
I think that is one of the major frustrations, is that it is a significant chunk of time to basically get nothing.
I love the challenge, but what I would really have liked them to do is to have maybe two currencies. So you've got these coins that you can buy things with. Yeah, maybe you get some other currency where 10 of them together will make a coin, and you get one for each fight that you manage to win.
Yeah.
So
something, just a little something. Attaboy.
Yeah,
as
a
you
little,
go for it.
Yeah. Just keep at it, and you'll get through it and get it done. So I need to, and I had a couple of cracks at it, and I did it again and lost again. And at that point, I've sat there for, well over half an hour doing pet battles just to try and get this one achievement done and not got anywhere. It's pretty disheartening to keep going at it and frustrating. You're going to go off and do something else. Right? So,
but you're glad to hear that both Strumpet and Kitty Fox and maybe others that I don't yet know about have managed to
beat it. Yes, huge congrats to them. Terrific effort.
Stunning.
I think I need to, I guess, go back to the drawing board and level up some more pets. to this. But I am learning some pretty awesome. I really need to do more of the daily PvP ones. I wimp out and really don't do those much at all. I need to do some more of those because I'm learning some pretty awesome stacks of damage that you can throw out by timing things. There's some pretty great things you can do. It's like the water elemental that I got that does a geyser and a whirlpool. So you kind of if you combine the geyser, which is a 3-round thing, with a whirlpool, which is 2 rounds, and then switch to Chrominius and do a howl, which doubles the damage that mobs take, and then do a surge of power, which is a massive damage. The surge of the power, the geyser, and the whirlpool all go off at the same time, and it's like bang,
dead.
It's and that's some of those fights. One of them is he basically heals himself for half his maximum health in one go, and it's like if you can't get him down before he does that, you're never going to win. So,
yeah.
Pretty awesome.
And I suppose you must be super excited that this Friday, I believe, our dear Strumpet is doing a pets podcast.
I did hear that.
I believe it's called All Pets Allowed.
Yep. Following the Twitter account already.
Yeah. I am not at the moment, so I don't follow people back until they do actually
produce until they actually something. Produce something. Yeah, that's a fair call.
But I am looking forward to it. And if she's Strumpet been... puts as much dedication into this podcast as she does riling me about our podcast, it will be fantastic.
Terrific. She's been promising me for weeks, probably months, for her secrets in how she levels pets without trainers. So looking forward to that.
Well, obviously, yeah. She's not going to give that away to you directly. You're going to have to listen to the show.
Well, that's fine. Happy to do that.
Looking forward to that.
Let's dive into some news, blues, and views. Dark Moon Fair's out. Been down to the Dark Moon Fair this month?
Nah. I listen to people saying that they go religiously every month to the Dark Moon Fair, and I went the first month, and I've been back a couple of times, but I don't know. I know that it's a place to be, and I really should be going there and making the most, especially off the profession bumps.
Yeah, profession bumps. There's pets you can get from collecting the stuff.
Well, I went out and got the pets on the actual island. I did that bit.
Right, but I mean, there's pets you can buy with the currency that you get out there.
Yeah, but
I get kitty foxes giving them all to you, so yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody bought those and I bought them off the auction house, or better still, somebody just sent them to me in the mail. I let them do the effort. Let them
do it the easy
work.
Way, what? Yeah. Well, this this month...
I should do.
You've got even more reason to go out there, because there's a new mini-boss out there called Moonfang. And it drops some pretty cool stuff. There's I got myself a mount. It's not a perma mount. It's a mount that you can only use whilst the Dark Moon Fair is on, but that's pretty cool nonetheless.
But can you use it anywhere, or do you only use it on
anywhere? No, anywhere.
Okay.
And when you summon that, I actually tweeted a vine of it yesterday. When you summon that, he howls and the moonbeam comes down. He's got a little moon over his head. And there's a really cool.
So is this like the rabbit?
Yeah, it's like So it's like the rabbit, but I mean, the rabbit just drops the pet for one person, whereas this is a factionless tag. Everybody just chips in to get him down. It's actually pretty tough. Unless there's a whole stack of people there, you'll die a lot and have to run back a lot. But people want to do it because he drops pets and mounts and cool little a cow that's like a... that you stick over your headpiece. Looks pretty cool.
Oh, it's not a transmog then. You actually can wear it at the same time.
Yeah, you just wear it. Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I've got a few little bits and bobs from him.
And you can keep going at him, can you?
Yeah, he spawns every hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you could just keep banging away at him until you get your mount.
Pretty much, yeah. And there's been a lot of people out it's pretty quiet overnight, early morning, say between 3 and 7. But pretty much any other time of the day, there's a whole bunch of people out there trying to kill him to get their mount and their pets and stuff.
Yeah. See, I like that. I like the fact that it's on somebody else to try and kill him.
Yeah. You could just stand by, do a bit of rain fire, run away, come back. Yeah. You could do that. You'd be called out for being a lowly scum coward, but sure, you could do that.
Of course I would. Of course I'd be called out, because everybody's focused on what I'm doing.
I was actually trying to dual box it, and it's quite difficult because you've got there's a lot of movement and you die a lot. And somebody, I don't know, there must have been multiple people, because they must have been battle resing, or they got out of combat somehow. But I'm running back and someone wants to res me, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to res. I just want to come back and stand there as a ghost and fight on the other toon. It's just like, oh, they've res me. I have to accept it.
Because you'll get called out for that.
He's not taking the res. He's just lying there. What news have you got for us?
Well, they had another developer round table, basically talking about 5.4, and then also dropping a few hints about what was to come. The thing that sent me scurrying to have a look at this particular roundtable, and you can find it, there's a link in the show notes. They actually sat around a square table, so I don't know what that's about, but anyway.
Well, duff. And,
I know. Lots of stuff was discussed. It's about 28 minutes long, but fortunately, the nice people over at WoW Insider have broken it down. So what got me scurrying over there was the new recruiter friend system that they're planning. If you do recruit friend currently, you'll get a mount that you as the person being recruited can award a mount to the person who recruited you.
Yep.
And so far we've had a sort of weird looking zebra. Then we had the fantastic, I think probably the best one was the X-53 rocket, which allows you to have a companion sat on the back. And then they went for the Obsidian Nightwing, which also lets you have somebody ride on your back, but when you're solo, you actually turn into the Obsidian Nightwing. Yep. Again, very good.
Like the Sandstone Drake.
Well worth having. Exactly like the Sandstone Drake, except for it's a some sort of panther. But I think what they've realized now is that anybody who's going to do Recruit a Friend has kind of done Recruit a Friend. And also, I guess, with the mounts being shared across accounts, there's no necessity for you to do it more than once, because once you've got the mount, everybody's got the mount. There's not a need for you to recruit on a different account. And naturally, assuming that everybody in the world has more than one account. But
right, of course.
So what they've hinted at, and hopefully this means that they're hinting at something they're actually going to do, is that they're going to have a token instead of a particular mount, and then that token can be turned in for, according to them, a myriad of rewards, including mounts and pets.
Ooh!
And also, they suggest
the word
that
myriad. That kind of has a good connotation, doesn't it?
It certainly conjures up a great deal of different things you can choose from. And it also says that maybe some of the retired mounts, because at the moment, obviously, with the Obsidian Nightwing, you can't then go back and get the X-53 Touring Rocket, or indeed, if you'd want one, Lord knows why, the Zevra. And so that's good. I think if that includes pets and it includes mounts that perhaps haven't formed part of the Recruit a Friend reward up until now, or even if it includes transmog, if it includes a lot of different things, then that would certainly be more of an incentive for people to do it again. Now, my question is, and one that perhaps only affects me and a few other people, I have probably still about 12 or 13 rewards unclaimed. That would have been mounts, but of course there's no need now because I have all the mounts and I don't need any more of them. Hopefully it's retroactive, so that instead of claiming a mount on all those ones that are still outstanding, I can claim one of these tokens and perhaps get something a bit more useful.
Can't imagine that you want to be holding your breath on that one.
Well, they did do it. When they switched from the rocket to the obsidian, because you hadn't claimed the rocket, didn't mean you could then go ahead and claim the obsidian instead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they do retroactively do it because the rewards don't have a time limit.
Right.
They just sit there on the account waiting to be given. So I would imagine, and I can't imagine I'm the only person that this is affecting. I don't know. I don't imagine it's not a lot of people. I do.
Yes, that'd be a huge amount, but I'm sure that you're not the only one.
Yeah, and when the cross battle account mounts came in, there must have been quite a few people who were stuck with these rewards and basically didn't need to claim them. In fact, you can't even claim them. It says you already own that.
Right, yeah. Yep. So.
Anyway, it'll be interesting to see, and I'm certainly looking forward to a myriad of rewards.
Oh, I love a myriad. I was just thinking on the fly. What about in terms of a myriad of things that you could get? I mean, there's a whole bunch of things in that wasn't game that you can't get anymore. And one place that they're available, probably the only place that they're available, is the black market auction house. What if these tokens that you got allowed you to bid on stuff on a black market auction house rather than gold?
Yeah, I can see
so
that.
So then you could get, you know, not just mounts and pets. Basically, you could have a chance to bid and get anything that's available on the black market auction house.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd want to have it more solidified about what you could actually get, because the black market auction house, by its very nature, is a little bit hit and miss.
Yeah, that seems hard.
No, the token could be used for tons of different stuff, even to the degree where stuff that you can currently buy on the online shop. Because what they're also doing is, instead of you going through the process of using their web-based system to recruit a friend, they're going to do it all in-game, which is what they're moving toward for everything.
So. Yeah.
But they also discussed a few other things. They said quite clearly that the patch 5.4 was a very smooth launch. I think we all agree with that.
Is it what?
It was a very smooth launch.
Oh, 5.4. Definitely. Yeah, one of the best.
And they all nodded towards what we said. The servers actually came back earlier than they expected. But a lot of them were actually down the pub, and they all had to rush back. So.
We'll give them a little clap for that. Well done, boys.
And what's interesting is that we know that there's a nice split between the EU and the US. In fact, recently the EU once again took the world first crown for Jerogomar, even though they started late. They kind of caught up with stuff, but yeah, even though they started late.
I think it's just you've got more unemployed in Europe that can sit around and rate all day.
It's funny what they say here, because they say that in the EU they had to temporarily nerf the Celestial Bosses on the Timeless Isle because of the massive influx of players trying to get their legendary cloak. Boss health, this is only on the EU, boss health was nerfed by up to 80%.
Wow.
And some abilities were removed entirely to facilitate a steady rotation of players without negatively impacting server performance. And they say that this is due to... They said the rush for the legendary cloak was more of an issue on EU servers because EU tends to have more hardcore raiders.
Yeah, as I said, unemployment.
Yeah. High unemployment.
So that kind of goes against... One of the hot fixes that they did was when 5.4 first came out and you had those celestial bosses, the boss would come out and stand in the middle of the courtyard. And you could you could run up to him and aggro him and then feign death, and he'd despawn, and a different one would come out into the middle. So you could kind of rotate through them without actually fighting them. So if you needed a particular one, you could just do that until you got to the one that you actually needed for whatever you needed it for. But they actually hotfixed it so that they would only rotate after they'd been defeated. But they're faction tapped. So if you're out there on the Horde and you're trying to do all four bosses for the Celestials for your legendary cloak, and you do two of them, and then the Alliance jump in and faction tap the third one and then bugger off, you've then got to do the fourth one and the first and the second one again before you can get back to the third one that you need.
Yeah.
This is like really stupid change, as far as I can tell. But I don't understand why they changed that.
I suppose, it does seem odd. But also that everything counts, doesn't it? It's not like you have to start again, get a tick in the box next to the celestial that you've done. So you come back.
A few days later
and still.
Yeah. You'll get there eventually. Just not. But then again,
I don't suppose they want hunters going in and feigning death and causing the entire thing to reset and start off a new one. I can imagine they could have fixed it in a different way. I'm not sure how, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, there's always people that, even in raids, you know, people jump in and you know, do a hilariously funny Leroy Jenkins that, you know, you've never seen before. Oh, geez, the first time I've seen anyone do a Leroy. Oh, look at that. They've run in and aggroed the boss and then pretend to die.
They actually, the devs are very happy with flex raiding as well. They seem over the moon with the success of flex raiding.
Yeah. I'd have to agree with that. I did some flex raiding last week again, and the joy that I get out of that is infinitesimally better than the experience I have in LFR.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, because you know the team, don't you?
Yeah, I know the team. You know the people. They're coordinated. They communicate. It's more of a challenge. It's not just. There's no guarantee of clearing it in a night like you do on LFR, but you know, that's not necessarily what I'm after. I'm after a bit of a challenge and an experience and a fun time. But you know, basically, it's basically just forced to do LFR unless you can find the time and coordinate with a bunch of friends.
One of the points they made as well is that over 50% of the flexible raids completed in the last week had two or more raid sizes over the course of the session. So people are swapping in and out.
Definitely. Yep. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, it used to be someone says, can you come along? Yeah, we're doing 25-man and you know, we'll be running from 10 p.m. till midnight. And you go, I'd love to, but, you know, I've got to be out by 11:30. You know, I can't run till midnight. And it's like, I don't want to leave him in the lurch, so I just won't go at all. Whereas now, it's, okay, no worries. I'll come along and, you know, you run to whenever you can. He goes, sorry, guys, got to bow out. You drop out. Yeah, no drama. Doesn't matter. You don't have to then sit there scratching your bum for half an hour trying to find a replacement DPS. You just, it's resized, retuned, away we go. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Great change.
I imagine they'll be pushing that forward into other areas, hopefully.
Yeah.
Now, this next one may upset some people, including Strumpet, I would imagine. It's about Timeless Isle. They say the Timeless Isle will be a template going forward to the next expansion for endgame world content. And they also say they may introduce more structure in the future for this type of content, such as goals evolving over multiple weeks. So that's a bit like the original Isle. Remember that original Isle? Burning Crusade?
Yeah, the Thunder Isle where it opens up gradually.
Just the Thunder Isle, but the Isle of Kel Danas. Do you remember that one years back?
Oh, yeah. I loved that. Yeah. That was a daily grind fest, but the stuff opening and doing different things, yeah, that was great.
And this is one that I like. They plan on increasing the amount of discoverable elements in future world content, the sunken pirate ship or hidden treasure chests. So we'll be looking forward to that. Running around on my 12 tunes, then just stopping. And they have Timeless Isle style exploration will be worked into the future leveling experience in addition to traditional quests. You'd like that, don't you? Because you like a bit of exploration.
I'm wondering how well it'll work because the Timeless Isle, I mean, the way that it works and what drives a lot of people out there is this, you know, constant dropping of epics and a chance at a burden of eternity to even further upgrade those epics and gear your tunes out and fight rares and stuff. It does feel like content for a patch towards the end of an expansion. It doesn't feel like that. Doesn't feel like something that they're going to put in an expansion at the start. You know, they're going to have epics and upgrades and stuff like this dropping out. So, what are they going to put there that's going to make people want to come back and do this every day without the dailies? I can't see this exactly mapping into the start of a new expansion. They'd have to change something.
No, I think the stuff they talked about the Timeless Isle template would be looking at the end game stuff. So that would be slightly different. But this one is using the stuff that you kind of like where you come across something, you're not sure what it does, and it opens up a quest.
Yep.
Where, you know, and that's almost going back old style.
Yeah, yeah. When before
they,
you had a wowhead.
When they introduced, well, but not just before we had a wowhead, but before we had yellow exclamation marks above people's heads. We didn't know necessarily in the early days, unless you did go onto Thoughtbot or something stupid. Not something stupid, but I'll go onto Thoughtbot. And look it up. You didn't exactly know who was giving the quests. Exactly. You knew there were quests in the area.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah.
And then you'd kill something and something would drop and that would start a quest.
You just start talking to every NPC in sight.
Yeah, but hopefully it's more like that where you're running along. I guess they're never going to take away the exclamation marks now because that would be a killer.
Yeah.
But you're running along and you see an exclamation mark on a particular item in the world, or you kill something and it drops something and that's got an exclamation mark in your bag. And more of that sort of exploration style leveling, which I think will be quite cool. Because one thing that I think a lot of people, although they have enjoyed Pandaria immensely, said about it is incredibly linear. And everybody will go through the same process to get to the same level. You know, there's not a whole lot of stepping off the path.
That's
the other thing.
Yeah.
Whereas I guess they've discovered that people actually quite enjoy that. They also quite enjoy, I think, something unique to their leveling process. Because there will be there will be people who will go through it in one way, not necessarily find these little Easter egg type quests, and never experience maybe an entire chain.
Well, I'd actually put, you say it's end game. I'd actually prefer them to have some of that mixed in through the leveling process. So you had a choice.
I've misled you. This stuff they're talking about now is part of the future leveling experience.
Ah, awesome. Because as you say, that the questing is very linear and you still need that because of the story-driven way that the zones work and phasing and everything. And I can understand why they do that, and that's fine. Yeah, I think that should still exist, but they do need to mix it up and have some different way of leveling that isn't that. It's more open and, you know, more exploratory. That would be awesome.
Yeah, so that's what they're saying. Time style exploration will be worked into the future leveling experience.
Nice.
So it's that style of stuff, and I think a lot of games have proven just how effective that is. You only have to look at something like GTA, where there is a storyline. The most fun that people get are all the things you step off to do.
Yep.
And, and exploring the world. Anyway, so that's hopefully we still have no idea when any expansion will come along, but hopefully that's in the offing.
Another year or so.
And one thing that always comes up is player bags. There's just not enough space.
Mm.
There's never enough space, and Blizzard have actually said something quite funny. They said it's like a TiVo. It's like the hard drive on a TiVo. No matter how big they make it, it will always fill up.
Yeah.
There's no...
No, it's like a PC. Doesn't matter how big your hard drive you get, you're always going to fill it up with stuff.
Yeah. So I think what they're trying to do is take away some of the stuff that fills up your bags but doesn't necessarily have to be in there. Like they're talking about taking heirlooms and putting that into some sort of other interface. So you don't have to have that stored necessarily in the bag. And also things like the vanity items and the toys and other bits and pieces could come out of the bag and maybe put into some other interface.
Yep.
So that's good. I mean, they've done it with pets. I mean, can you imagine how many pets you'd have
to
get in
your
bag?
Yeah. But, I mean, they've flipped it around and now you know, I'm just deleting them left, right and center now. Now my bags are full of pet leashes and pet cages and pet biscuits and...
Yeah.
So I haven't got the pets, but I've got everything else that goes with them.
And that stuff really needs to be put into the interface, isn't it? That needs to sort of disappear from your bag space.
Yeah,
and be
that's right.
Interface. I imagine that's the way they're moving towards.
Yeah, I mean, bags should be gear and quest items and your buff, your food, flasks and stuff. I think everything else should live somewhere else.
Yeah, like a magic bag that you carry around,
or maybe have some sort of
exotic bag on your mount. And you can just go on there. I'm not sure what the question was that elicited these responses from the people at the dev roundtable, but one of the answers was they won't add gnomes to cinematics until it makes sense for the story being presented. It's obviously something QQ'd about there being
why
no
is there never gnomes in the cinematics?
So I don't know what was all that about.
That's awesome.
And I think that's kind of it. They do talk about other things, but it's well worth checking out. As I said, there's a link in the show.
That sounds great. I'll have to check that out.
And it's interesting listening to the devs because, I mean, they've been tasked to get on and do stuff and sort stuff out. They don't necessarily guarantee it's going to ever see the entire light of day, but they can. It certainly gives you some idea of the way that Blizzard are thinking, It's given what they've been tasked to do. So, good stuff.
And that encourages people, that excites people to look forward and give feedback and ideas and stuff. So,
not everything's going to be a dance studio.
Will they ever live that down?
Well, they stuck it on the box. That was their biggest error.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Imagine if you're the dude. You're the dude that designed the box and got that go ahead to get all those boxes produced. You're like, oh my god, they've taken it out. No one will notice. They'll be right. It'll be right.
It's now a shorthand for something that never makes it to the live day.
Yeah.
Dance studio.
Let's dive into Masterclass.
So this week, as I said, I'd been doing some LFR and I needed to get two more runestones to get my even dozen. Lucky it wasn't Baker's Dozen. I'd hate having to get 13 of these things because they're rare as hen's teeth. But I finally got my last runestone drop in the first wing of Siege of Morgrimmar this week.
Yeah.
Hey! Having had to have killed Lee Shan, because he drops a guaranteed one. That was my 11th. I got my 12th and went on back to Dark Prince.
Rathion.
Went on back to Rathion. And he said, well done, old chap. Well done. Now bring me the heart of the Thunder King. And I went, come on, dude. I already killed him. I already killed him this week. You know, can't you have something else? What about, you know, just... I'll give you a sack of gold or something. Yeah. He went, nope, sorry, old chap. Go and kill him again. So I had to go and do that again. Killed the Thunder King again. Hang on a minute. I've already killed you this week. What are you still doing alive? Took his heart back and got myself the achievement for Chapter 3, Two Princes. So I was pretty much caught up at 5.3 at that point. The next bit had me going off talking to the four Celestials around Pandaria and have a bit of a yak to them. And they all had excellent words of wisdom that you should pay close attention to. And I had to accept one of their challenges. And, of course, being a resto druid as my main spec, I accepted the healing challenge. And that wasn't a walk in the park, was it? It wasn't the walk in the park that I was expecting to be. It was actually really tough. So I don't know whether that says something about my healing style for the druids or something, but it took me three or four goes to keep Rathion alive and heal him. I thought, it started off, easy peasy. I can keep Rathion alive. It's all right. I can dispel myself. And then, the ad started coming out. And I'm like, Rathion, you're the tank. You pick up these things. And he's, oh, no, you'll be right. Take care of them yourself, old chap. And these slimes were beating me down. And I'm pushing them away and running and rooting them. And then you get to this phase where the Rathion is weakened or something and he starts getting missiles shot at him and it comes up and says, use your body to protect Rathion. I'm like, what? I'm not standing in front of these missiles being shot at him.
I'm a healer, not a tank.
Yeah, that's right. What's going on here? But I got there eventually, got him down, which was a bit of a nice adrenaline buzz to get through that. And then sadly, he turned around and went, well done, okay. Here's your eye level 600 rare cloak, which was a lovely upgrade. It's pretty nice, awesome cloak. And he says, now go off, the Timeless Isle's been discovered, rock on down there, and how about you kill all the Celestials? I'm like, already have. I got the achievement and everything. I say, look, achievement, killed all the Celestials. And he said, nah, sorry, old chap. You go down and kill them again. I'm like, oh, I've already killed them this week. Oh, kill them again.
You killed them before I asked you to.
Yeah, well, luckily, this was on the weekend, and I figured no hope. You know, come Wednesday, people run it. They get their weekly kill, and then that's it. No one's going to run it again. But luckily managed to get into an all AIE, well, mostly AIE group that got together on the weekend and did all four of them. It's pretty rare. I mean, it's only been out for a small number of weeks, and already it's pretty rare to get a group together that will agree to do all four, because you only get a potential loot drop off one of them per week. You'd only actually only do the four if you wanted to get the achievement, or if you're a nice bloke and wanted to help some other guildie.
I didn't realise that.
Mm. So that's they're the sorts of things that where I was really concerned about falling behind, because I knew stuff like that is going to crop up. And, you know, in another 2 or 3 months, imagine how difficult it's going to be for people to try and get. It's going to take them 4 weeks, basically, because they're not going to find a group together to get all four Celestials down in one go.
Yeah, but they'll have nerfed them by then. You just stroll in and give them a slap.
There's that. Yeah, okay. Would you like to do the pet battle version of this instead? Yes, please.
You'll be able to buy the legendary cloak on the auction house by then. So that's fine.
Yeah, that's probably right. So got them all down, and I got myself my first ever legendary item.
Yay!
Legend, wait for it. Dairy. So yes, feeling very chipper. So I went off, headed up the way there. What's that way called? Up the hill, up the ramp, up the hill to the broken bridge, and went whee and jumped all the way across and didn't fall down and splat on the ground dead.
I thought you were going to say it. I've got to equip it, and I crashed down to the.
thank goodness. That was pretty cool. So the same group went and did Ordos. Killed Ordos and got myself a belt off him as well. So I'm feeling extremely raiderific. Now my item level has jumped from something pretty embarrassing up to quite a reasonable level.
So how hard a fight is Ordos?
It's pretty much a tank and spank. Stay out of the stupid.
No.
Yeah, it's not that difficult, really.
They hide it behind all this stuff, the legendary cloak, and you get kicked out if you try to get over there by other methods.
That's right.
You assume that it's going to be some uber epic fight, but
Not so much. Pretty easy. Yeah. I mean, it was a full raid. It's not like five of you can stroll in there and knock him over. He's got plenty of health, but yeah, all these people were still high on the adrenaline of getting a legendary cloak, so he went down like a sack of spuds, mate.
How many people in your group had to do that for the legendary then? How many people in that celestial group?
I'm not sure. It was at least a half a dozen.
Oh, there you go then. So that was well worth doing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's pretty sad, but having done all that, I went, all right. My first thought was, which turn's next?
Oh, dear. Come on.
I know, right? I must be mental.
It's got to be a show, hasn't it?
Oh, I think it does. Although, it doesn't need to be a show to do Ordos, because what I didn't realise was any toon on the account of where you've got the legendary cloak can now jump across that bridge, even without the cloak, and go up and do Ordos.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So I can actually at least get some better gear on Ashao, because she's on the same account, so I did jump over there and just solo to see that I could run in without getting teleported out again, and I could, and then the big elite dudes went, "Oi, what are you doing?" and went whack whack and killed me.
So you'll be looking for Ordos groups.
Yes, that's right. I'll probably just because I'm not doing a lot on Ashao at the moment. I'll probably just plant her up there and log out and log in and see if anybody's actually doing him. I've kind of got tunes planted around it. I've got a tune planted to do my pet battle dailies. I've got tunes planted down on Dark Moon Fair to see where when Moonfang spawns. So I've got a tune that's sitting at the top of the waterfall on the Timeless Isle waiting for the rare and the pets up there to spawn.
How does Jeppy handle his weapon? Find out this week on Noob to Elite.
Noob to Elite. So this is the only thing that I actually took part in this week, much to my shame.
Well, it was a pretty epic part, so well done you.
But it was good, because we did something new, didn't we?
We did. We got a group of five fine, friendly folks together, and we recorded it. We made a video. Have we got a video?
Yeah, we made a video.
We made a video.
Which actually suits the format a lot better than audio, we decided.
It does, I think, because A, it makes this show shorter and it won't go for 3 hours. And B, people can go to YouTube and watch us make complete idiots of ourselves.
Yeah, that's the only problem, is that you can sort of big it up in audio and say, yeah, oh, yeah, there you go, there's another crit. Yeah, what, 250,000 DPS? Yeah.
One shot that, actually, bugger.
See it. You see us getting splashed about by the boss.
That's right.
We did go in and do two of the dungeons that I'd already done, which was the Temple of the Jade Serpent and Stormstout Brewery.
Yes,
although this time around, I didn't manage to lock myself out.
Yes.
In any of them. I didn't get locked out at all.
You did get into the fight. That was
yeah,
awesomely done.
Kim helped. Kim helped that by yelling, "Get inside!" Every time there was a chance that I was going to get locked out. I almost got locked out, actually, in the Stormstout Brewery, but I just made it through the door before it closed.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We did get through that pretty easily. I think it's quite clear that you're getting used to those fights and playing your Warlock. So you're definitely ready for something a bit harder.
Yeah. The team that we had included Ozzy, Blue Moon, Tarngarth, as he's known on the WoW, who needed to get up a wee bit, but he's done an absolute sterling job, and I think he's already like 97. he just went away and said, "Okay, I need to get to this level." Boom, boom, right. Boom, boom, boom,
boom. Done. He's there on his shin.
It's pretty stunning, actually.
And I'm sure he didn't do it for us, but Wingy did the same. No. He's leveled up his rogue, so he's rogues now. We'll ninja him and drag him along.
And this really does give a big tick to our decision to move back to AIE.
Definitely.
Well, to Earthen Ring and to the joys of people from AIE and Clan of Darkness. Because
there were a couple of Alliance followers that were a bit sad that we did that. But
tough.
Can't please everyone, unfortunately.
No. But I did. I felt a heck of a lot better going in with that group. Bit overpowered. Strumpet came on her level 90 and Shay was on her level 90.
Strumpet's like, who will I bring? Look, I'll tell you what, I don't really know how to play my warrior and she's really bad, so maybe I'll just bring my warrior. She's level 90, but I'm not really good at her. And she's like in there going, I'm like, oh, holy crap. I'd hate to see you if you did know how to play it. I'm not going up against you in PvP. Didn't do very well.
So I would hope that the next time we do a bit of new to elite dungeoning, the levels are a bit closer to the level of the dungeon so that I can really experience.
That it will be.
Yeah. But we'll see. I did feel a heck of a lot more comfortable. And you should go and watch the video now. Go and watch the video. All right. It's only 20 minutes.
We'll put a link to it in the show notes. There was a whole bunch. I know if this is the right place for it, but I'm gonna slot it in here before someone else steals the content, and she'll do a podcast of her own and put it out. Too late, we've used it. Strumpet she filled us with information. What?
She's like tippermatic.
She was tippermatic, we're in the Stormstout Brewery, and she's, "Have you got the hopling?" And we're all like, what? And none of us knew about the hopling. I certainly didn't. I'll fess up. She had no idea.
She whipped hers out.
Yeah.
She said, here you go. Here you go. Have one of these.
I went, oh.
I said, geez, put those away.
Holy cow. And
then she got a hopling out.
So, yeah. So for those that don't know, like me, there's a vendor as you first come into the Storm Stout Brewery that you can buy some booze off. And if you finish Storm Stout, you don't have to actually finish it, but it does help if it's clear when you do this. If you finish it and then drink it, you'll find these little statues all through the dungeon. And if, as a team, you don't have to do this individually, but if all five of you drink it and wander around and find them all, if you find all, was there 30?
I think that's 30. Yeah.
If you find them all, you get an achievement, and I forget what the vendor's name was, but she sends you a mail, and attached to the mail is the little hopling pet.
Yeah. Simple as that. At first, we weren't sure because we thought we had to do it individually.
We're all fighting each other. We were rushing towards it. Like, get away, you bastard. That's mine.
Suddenly, the team spirit went out the window.
Yeah, out the window. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. There's enough for us all to do it. And I'd actually went, we've worked our way back to the start of the dungeon, found them all, and I went, oh, maybe they've respawned, and I went all the way back to the end of the dungeon, and I couldn't find any, and then Strumpet said, if you press V to turn on nameplates, you might be able to find some more. So I pressed V, and then right there in front of me, the last boss we'd killed, there was a statue underneath him. Click, bang, achievement. Easy as that.
And this can be done on any difficulty. We did it on the lowest difficulty.
Yeah, this was pleb mode. This was you noob. This was you noob mode.
The quest is called Ling Ting's Herbal Journey. Ling
Ting. There you go. Very good. The second tip that Strumpa gave us, she said, does anybody have a cageable flying pet that they needed upgraded with a battle stone? And I went, oh, no. She said, oh, has anybody got a mechanical battle stone that they're not using? And I went, oh, yeah, but they're account bound, aren't they? How's that going to help? And she said, well, no, noob, sit back and listen. and having explained it to me, it was extremely obvious and simple and pretty stupid that I didn't think of it in retrospect. But if you have somebody that you trust, you can cage the mechanical pet that you want upgraded and trade it to them and have them use their stone on it and then trade it back. Bang, done. Got yourself a new blue pet.
Mm.
So I was more than happy to do that because as I tweeted last week, I've got a whole bunch of battle stones that I'm not really sure, they're just sitting around using up space that I'm not really sure what to do with, so...
When you were doing that, I was picturing you having the little devil and little angel on your shoulder saying, keep the pet!
Keep it!
The devil's
just
going,
keep it!
No!
You better give
don't it. Do it, Asheo!
You better give it back, otherwise Jeppy's going to see that you're evil and he'll want to do that as well.
Yeah, I'd have done it.
Mm.
That's why nobody asked me.
I did actually have trouble finding it in my bags. And I'm like, I can't see it. Did it trade? And Jeppy's like, oh, yeah, pull the other one. You've just learnt it and you're on your way.
On your way to the auction house.
That's it. Be selling that little bling. Ah, little bling tron. My pretty. So her third tip was more of a question as to whether we'd come across them and heard about them. But apparently that there's cooking recipes that drop from mobs in the Vale of Eternal Blossom that give you a better well-fed buff than the normal food.
300.
I haven't come across any of that.
Lita and Rogue Slayer on this week's Control Alt WoW went into some detail about those recipes and where you can find them. Supposedly they're down in the key, where you get your keys and you open up the chests or whatever they are.
Oh, okay.
And also that there's a I know that Donne picked up some rice, which was timed. It was about to, it would run out in 2 hours. I think it's just laying around on the ground. I don't think it's something you get from a mob. And you have to use it in the recipe within that 2 hours, or it'll disappear from your bag.
Oh, well.
So there's a few little extra mechanics to it all. But, yeah, they certainly mentioned it quite a bit on the latest controller. Wow.
Way cool. Well, I'll have to have a listen to that.
A funny thing happened on the way to the ding.
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 Jeez. Shh. There's a rare.
Shh. Shh. There's a geek.
All right. So this one isn't so funny. It's a bit of a...
It's a funny thing.
It's a funny thing. But it's a little bit funny how some hunters behave. And I'm actually going to name and shame. Here we go. Doom Archer. Doom Archer. Hunter on Illidan. Doom Archer. You, sir, are a giant f***ing douche.
Wow. Mm. There's naming and there's shaming. Yeah. And then that was naming and basically destroying the poor dude.
Yeah. So I was doing...
Doom Archer.
Doom Archer. If you find yourself in a LFR with this dude, put him on ignore and immediately drop out, because you ain't going to have a pleasant time. So we're doing the last boss in the second wing Siege of Orgrimmar, General Nazgrim. And this isn't a particularly difficult fight. It's the boss does some different stances, and when he's in one particular stance, I think it's defensive stance, basically, you want to stop DPS on him. No DPS on the boss. Bad things happen. And there's ads that come out. Ads are priority. You want to kill the ads. And he sticks it down some banners. And you want to kill the banners. And basically, you stay out of the stupid. And that's really all there is to it. And we went in there, and I can't even remember why, but we wiped on the first attempt. So I went, oh, yeah, okay, that happens. No problem. We'll go back in. Go back in, and we pull him again, and it was because the DPS were DPSing when he was in defensive stance. I think it's defensive stance. I can't remember which one, but there's a stance that he's in where you're not supposed to attack him. And
so not only is it not effective because he's defending himself,
no,
but does it actually cause you?
It causes us huge grief. I forget why. But someone will write in and go, oh, you knew it's because blah, 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 blah. Okay, fair enough. I can't remember everything. I'm sorry. But it's a very bad thing if you're actually DPSing him. And so the person that was leader of the group quite sensibly made some macros. And if ads came out, he spammed, switched to ads. And if he was in this stance, he'd say, stop DPS on boss. And, that'll... made it nice and easy, and start when he's out of the stance again. Start DPS on boss, easy peasy. Away we go. Well, this Doom Archer, for some reason, had decided that because we'd wiped, we were a bunch of noobs, and that this was a really bad LFR, and none of us deserved to get any further. So, what does he do?
Nice.
When the raid leader's sending out his message, he sends out a message. A macro going, no, 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 no. And so splats it off the screen so you can't see it, what the raid leader's trying to say. Okay, well, that's annoying enough. He doesn't DPS the boss at all, except when he's in defensive stance and puts his pet on the boss as well. Okay. Well, no one else is DPSing him, but that's probably bad enough. And he's calling people out and saying how noobish and stupid we are. And when it seemed apparent to him that none of that was enough to cause us to wipe again, he turns on Aspect of the Pack so that we're all getting stunned as we're trying to get out of the stupid and fight the boss. How much of a douche do you have to be, seriously? And then when it became apparent that regardless of all this activity, we were still going to get the boss down, he starts gloating and saying, thanks for the free ride, boys. Got my fat loots and just gave you all shit. And, oh, man, I was just, I was ropeable, absolutely ropeable. So I was just calmly, you know, saying into raid chat, please report Doom Archer when this dungeon is over. He'll enjoy a nice, quiet few days in the Banhammer world. I mean,
I can't understand the mentality of any of that. Really, I can't. I can understand that you're not a great player and that mistakes occasionally are made, and some people are not very good at taking constructive criticism when they do make these mistakes. But to go out of your way
to
sabotage,
it just
makes no sense.
Unacceptable.
I would hope that you know, the kind of scenario you imagine has happened is that some douchebag younger brother or has got onto
the
older
brother's
account.
Yeah.
But, you know, sadly enough, the case is that this guy's just a complete nutter douchebag and he can't be anything other than.
Yeah.
And that this good is chance. How he gets his kicks,
yeah.
Which is just so odd. So odd.
I mean, you can only do it so many times to get a bad reputation before everybody's got you on ignore and you can't get a group together.
Yeah, that's why it just seems so self-defeating and that you would imagine it was somebody else doing it on somebody else's account.
Yeah.
But this defensive stance you're talking about, by the way, is defensive, you're quite right.
Ah, jolly good.
He won't take any damage and he's getting more and more rage as he gets hit.
There you go. Rage!
Says, therefore, no one but the tank should be on the boss while he is in defensive stance.
So we were all, apart from being righteously pissed at him, we were all pretty impressed that we managed to get the boss down despite his best efforts.
Because you were fighting the boss and a douchebag.
Yeah.
Basically, it was another ad.
Exactly. A pretty powerful ad that manages to daze the entire raid all at once. Something should be done about aspect of the pack.
You can't turn it off yourself.
No,
not above the search.
Yeah, maybe that's what it should be. Maybe you should be able to turn it off yourself because that was just annoying.
Yes, Doom Archer, you art a douche. Douche Archer.
Mega douche.
I think we should all create tunes over on Illidan and just spam and annoy him.
Hi, actually,
you're the one that will get in trouble, sadly.
Yeah. No, it trolls crave attention, so not intending to do that.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't even have named him, but he needs shaming, so.
He does need shaming.
Okay.
You know what time it is. That's right. It's Ask A&J.
Guess what, mate? We got an awesome question from Curly Q. Good old Curly.
Curly is a huge friend of this show and other shows. So
I'll have to go and find the link, and I'll put a link in the show notes. He started blogging.
Has he started
blogging, so... I'm going to have to go and...
That is the level of excitement.
Check out his blog and see what words of wisdom he got for us. I'm sure it would be awesome.
I have to say, when I saw this question, I was like, I need to know the answer to this as well. I have a rough idea about what... you say the question.
His question was very simple. Very simple question, and I probably could have given a one-word answer, but I'm not going to, you know me, I'm not going to do that. His question was, what is latency? How can I fight it? What do the numbers mean? Do I want low or high? Are there mods? Smiley face.
Smiley face.
Well, sir, I have an answer for you. And in order for you to get the most out of following this answer, unless you're a mega geek like me, and you may not need to. But for the likes of Jeppy, and I suspect Curly, given that he asked a question, it would be a very good idea if I pause at this moment and you go and open the show notes and scroll down to the Ask A&J section for episode 5 and have a look at your Yeldy show notes. I'll wait for you. Okay, you're back? Awesome. All right. So I'm sure most of you know that when you're in-game and you hover over the little computer icon which is in the default UI, it brings up a nice little pop-up. And apart from things like add-on memory and frame rates and bandwidth, it has two numbers underneath the heading of latency. And one of those numbers is a home, and one of those numbers is world. And what latency is basically the amount of time that it takes for data to go from your computer up to the WoW server and back again. So the easy answer to the question is a lower latency is a good thing, just like golf. You want a low number. It's reminiscent from last episode. So what do the numbers actually mean, home and world? The home latency. So WoW has two, basically establishes two connections to the WoW servers. And the home latency is where all data like your chat channels and your auction house data and your add-on data is going over that home channel. Whereas your world channel, the number beside world, is the more intensive things like your combat data and information on the people that are around you and NPCs and all that sort of intense gaming information. So they should be, if everything is okay with the servers, they should be around the same order of magnitude. So you can see there, my world is high 200s and my home is low 300s. So they're around about the same. It's not like, you know, one's 30 and the other one's 3,000. You know, if that was the case, then that would probably indicate that there's a problem server side at Blizzard, because, you know, it's, if one of them's low, then it's not going to be your computer or the network. So what if they are high, or you are having latency issues? Well, what you can do in figure 2, you'll see in the show notes, is to use the Windows command netstat to list out the connections between your machine and the WoW servers. And what this command is basically doing is looking for TCP connections on port 3724. So you might know that web servers, HTTP is port 80. Well, WoW uses port 3724. So in that second command there, what I'm basically doing is trying to find out what the IP address is of the WoW servers that I'm connecting to. And I'm connecting to three different servers, because I've got two different instances of WoW running, three different servers, but they're all in the same subnet. They're all in the 206.18.99 subnet. So what I can do then is take one of those IP addresses and use the Windows command traceroute. And what a traceroute will do was do, like the game is showing you the in-game latency, traceroute is going to show you your system latency. So outside of the game, what does your system think it takes to send a packet and get a response from the Blizzard servers? So you'll notice in figure 3 that I've done a traceroute to the .14 address, and it doesn't actually complete. It doesn't get all the way. And the reason for that is Blizzard actually don't permit. They're blocking the ports that require traceroute to respond. But that's okay, because most of the routers and everything along the way where the problems are likely to be do respond. So I can see there that my latency is growing I'm getting further and further away from home and closer to Blizzard. And the last number that I see there is it's high 200s. So it's the same sort of order magnitude as what the game is showing me. So that means that there's not some aspect of the game that's causing my latency to be higher than what the system thinks it can achieve. You know, if there was a bad add-on or something that was causing latency issues, then I'm going to see that my in-game reported latency is a lot higher than what the system is reporting the latency. So basically, what I'd suggest that you do is capture this traceroute and to establish a baseline. So when everything's working okay, you want to capture a traceroute and just save it away in a file somewhere. Take a screenshot of it, save it away, print it out, just so you've got a baseline. So when you are having a problem, you've got something to compare it against. It's really hard to, if you're having a problem and you've got nothing to compare it against, you don't particularly know what's good or bad. So in figure four, I've got an example there where the connection isn't so great, and I can compare this output with my baseline output, and I can look at that and I see that in the third hop, whereas in my first baseline I was getting 23 milliseconds, in this situation I'm getting 125 milliseconds. So that's telling me that something very close to home is causing my network not to behave very well, which is going to impact WoW. So that's not a problem with Blizzard. That's not a problem with the game. That looks like a problem with your home network or with your connection to your ISP. Also in that diagram, you'll see that on the very next hop, instead of a number being there, there's an asterisk, which means it completely timed out and didn't get a response at all. And because that's that particular hop is at my ISP, and you can see there my ISP is at tpg.com.au, that indicates that it's probably a problem with my ISP, and I can ring them up and say, hey, I'm having problems with my latency. You know, is there an issue on your network at the moment? If you have if you're looking at this diagram in figure four, you can get a feel for the various ISPs that the traffic is traveling through on its way to Blizzard. So, for example, a lot of the hops that this trace route goes through is going through the ISP Cogent. So it's going through a lot of cogentco.com addresses. So if I'm seeing big jumps and packet losses inside Cogent, there's really basically nothing that I can do about it. It's not my network that's the problem. It's not my ISP. There's no point in me ringing the ISP and complaining about it. It's not at Blizzard servers. Basically, you know, some other ISP along the way has a problem, and you're just going to have to write it out and hope that they fix it. And finally, the other thing that you can do, the trace route command that's in those diagrams is just a single point in time plot of what the latency currently is. What's more useful if you're having long-term issues is being able to graph and plot that. And there's quite a few tools that will do that. And the one that I particularly like is a program called Ping Plotter. And Ping Plotter will basically do a trace route over and over and over and present that in a graphical format and show it over time, and you can zoom in and out and you can see where there's packet loss because there's red marks on the line, and you can see jumps in the busyness of your network because there's big spikes in it, and you can save it and pull it back and look at it later. So it's very useful if you're trying to generate a trend for problems and being able to report those issues through to your ISP. So what can you do to minimize your latency? The first thing I'd do is try and run the game with no mods enabled to see whether one of them is flooding the data channel we talked about earlier. If you disable all your mods and the game suddenly becomes a lot more responsive and your latency is reported lower, then you're going to have to binary chop through your mods to figure out which one's causing your problems. The other thing you can do is lower your video settings. It might sound odd, but if you think about it, if you've got your view distance in WoW turned all the way up so that you can see some player that's 300 yards away, well, if you can see him, then your game needs to get information on him. So the more you can see and interact with, the busier that data channel is that WoW's got to send back and forth. So if you lower your video settings, then you're going to lower your bandwidth requirements and improve your latency.
And that's why latency is so much higher when there's so much more going on.
That's right.
There's lots of people in the area.
Yep. Typically, a wireless connection is going to be not as reliable as a wired connection. So, for example, if you're using a laptop and you're on wireless, if you've got an RJ45 port on your router and a cable, you might want to try plugging in the cable and try running it wired rather than wireless to see whether that makes a difference. And finally, as I think it's been covered many times over the years, because it does actually tend to fix issues, and Bitter and Salty actually covered it off not that long ago. There's a program called Liatrix Latency Fix, which is on WoW Interface, and links to that in the show notes as well. And what that's actually doing, it's not a mod, it's not a program per se. What it's actually doing is fiddling with your registry and tweaking the network configuration options for Windows. And just very quickly and basically what that's doing. So what Windows does is somewhat buffers up information before it sends it out. The way that information is sent on the internet is in packets, and you've got all these headers of information as well. So say, for example, you're typing a message to a friend and you want to say hi. So you on your keyboard, you press H-I. Okay, so you've sent that H to the program, and the program might decide, well, okay, well, I'll send that to the server. And so that one byte, that H, gets wrapped up inside a TCP header, wrapped up inside an IP header, wrapped up inside an Ethernet header, sent out on the internet, and that one byte of information actually takes something of the order of 60 bytes to send. And then you press I, and if the same thing happened, another 60 bytes would have to be sent and acknowledged. So that's 120 bytes that you've just sent to send 2 bytes worth of information, a H and an I. Whereas if Windows got smart and went, oh, he's probably going to hit another key. So rather than send the H, I'll just wait a bit and see if he presses something else. And, oh, look, he's hit an I. Okay, so now instead of having to send 120 bytes, I've sent 62 bytes. And so it greatly reduces the amount of data on the network, but at the expense of putting in a bit of a delay. And that basically happens in Windows a lot. It buffers stuff up and chooses not to acknowledge things instantly. And so what the Liatrix latency fix is actually doing is hacking Windows to somewhat de-optimize that ability to buffer stuff and tell it to respond straight away, which means, you know, WoW is more responsive because it's sending and acknowledging data a lot faster, but at the expense of potentially consuming more bandwidth and making it less efficient. So it's not a good solution for overall internet usage of your computer, but it does help with latency issues in WoW and other real-time games like that.
Don't be scared either, because it's actually a executable, from what I remember, an executable file. It's not a mod as such. It's not like a normal add-on.
Right. Yeah, it's not a normal add-on. It's just a program that you run, and it fiddles with your system.
I know a lot of people are scared when they have to click an .exe file,
and quite rightly so. They should be. So, I would say if you want to run that, make sure you're getting it from wowinterface.com. Don't go and download it from Dodgy Joe's latency fix, here's my superduper version.com, because it's probably going to have a virus in it. So there you go. There's your quickie on latency. That's the quickie, Curly.
Actually, here's my quickie. High latency, bad fix. There you go.
Awesome.
I think we could do another 2 hours on how TCP IP works, but...
2 hours? Oh, I could do 2 days.
I bet you could as well.
I could slip in a UDP jack, but you might not get it.
You've already got your golden water geek this week. You're not getting another one.
An oldie but a goodie.
Let's just say the next Ask A&J should be something that Jay has a freaking clue what's going on.
Yeah, well, the next one needs to be one for Jay, and he needs to give the answer.
How you play game. There you go.
WASD.
Oh, God, I hate WASD.
Well, you need to explain to us the joys of your method of playing. Looking forward to it.
G30.
All right, I'm out. That's all I got.
Sadly, I've had this conversation about how the internet works and packets and that type of thing with my son, and he was just, shut up, Dad. Shut up. I don't need to know.
All right. Well, I guess we should do a sign out or something.
Yeah, you need to say goodbye to the dear listener. I'm going to be honest with you, most of the dear listeners did pass out about 20 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there's a few still hanging about.
Well, listeners, thank you for listening all the way to this point, you crazy-ass bastards.
you four that left.
Did I just wake you up and you missed everything that I said after latency? That's okay. I don't blame you. So until next week, I've been a show. Psst, there's a rare.
And psst, there's a Jeppy saying goodbye. Bye-bye.
You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com or over on Twitter where, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Follow the lads directly on at Asheo and at LJeppy. Or, if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us, wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both.
Upload complete.
Psst, there's a rare.